While Pope Benedict is urging renewed energy and self-criticism in interfaith dialogue, there are some Muslims and Christians in the Middle East who have never stopped the conversation. As director of the Islamic and Christian Studies Department at St. Joseph's University in Beirut, Father Salah Abu Jaudeh keeps the classrooms buzzing. His 40-some students, half Muslims from the Middle East and North Africa, and half Christians from the region, set the record straight for each other on their faiths and lay the groundwork for greater understanding and for peace.
We have two main programs. First of all, what we can say a very classical program, we provide courses to study Islam and Christianity and methods for how to enter into an objective and fruitful dialogue, but also to lead the students to appreciate the richness of cultural and religious differences. The Institute believes that by providing such courses, students can identify the prejudgments, the discriminations, the stereotypes that influence maybe consciously, but especially unconsciously, the way each member or even each group of the society understands other groups or members, mainly during crisis. So this is the first program we have. The second one we started 2 years ago. It's a specialized program on dialogue, mainly for teachers of religion, Christians and Muslims, and for directors of educational, social, or welfare establishments. At least, until now, 75 persons followed the program. We hope by this academic formation to enlarge mutual understanding and cooperation between the participants, so they, in their turn, can play a more efficient and objective role among their pupils. They can train their consciences in the direction of peace, reconciliation, and concord. As well, we try to reach a larger public by our other activities, such as conferences, forums online, roundtables that we organize regularly.
Oh, just a curiosity, Father. When you have these students sitting together side by side, Muslims and Christians, do you ever have any arguments? Do people discuss the Quran and the Bible and disagree over things?
In fact, that depends on the subject. Usually, when we introduce the Bible or the Quran, we don't have arguments because for most of them, they are about to hear something new. They are about to hear something that they need to know. So at this level, usually we don't have any arguments. The arguments start in general when religion and politics go together, when we cannot avoid the separation between some religious subjects from, for example, social and political subjects. When we speak of Palestine, when we speak of the relation between East and West, that might cause some arguments. But in general, we handle them. We have a long experience. The teachers are well ready to handle these situations.
But can this small-sized interfaith dialogue operate on a national level, involving all 17 of Lebanon's different confessions? All were divided into different alliances during the horrific years of civil war that tore Lebanon apart. I wondered if it is faith or politics which determine the path towards reconciliation in Lebanon, a process that never seemed to get off the ground since the conflict ended in 1990.
Well, here, in fact, the national dialogue is a political process par excellence and concerns the different current political forces or blocs. These forces do not have necessarily a confessional color or a specific confessional color. So as an academic institution, we do not get involved in such a process. We work only at academic level. A national dialogue is a political process.
My experience with the Lebanese has been really that they never really seem to have had a true process of reconciliation after that long civil war that brought Lebanon to its knees. I'm thinking of reconciliation processes like the ones we saw in South Africa, perhaps Rwanda, Mozambique. Was there anything that prevented a national reconciliation process?
Well, in fact, I must say two things to start. First of all, we should not forget that Lebanon as a state was founded in 1920. So somehow it's a new country. Moreover, Lebanon underwent a multifaceted war from 1975 until 1990. It wasn't a purely a civil war. The war in 1975, for instance, started between Christian militias and the Palestinians. It was not between Lebanese. These things are to be underlined first. Second, the modern history of the country shows that Lebanese, in fact, are fully capable of attaining sustainable compromises as long as external interferences are neutralized. In addition, whenever we talk about national dialogue, we should always put it in its particular context. The Israeli army withdrew from the south in May 2000. The Syrian army left the country in April 2005. So the Lebanese didn't have the opportunity to meet each other in an ambience of liberty during decades. Syria was the power broker in Lebanon for three decades. Now, for the recent war, before the recent war, a national dialogue, in fact, has been inaugurated at the initiative of the Speaker of the House, Mr. Nabih Berri. It would be wrong, however, to think that it was a dialogue between confessions, although confessionalism was and still present and deeply rooted in national life. To be more accurate, we have to speak of dialogue between different political currents. If I have the time, I can explain what I mean.
Yes, please do. Mm-hmm.
So the parliamentary elections of May and June in 2005 broke down into three strong blocks. First, the Future Movement,
Let's go back 1 second. This is a new political scene since the death, the assassination of the former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri back in February 2005.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Everything changed after that moment.
Exactly. There was the retreat of the Syrian army. And then in May and June 2005, we had the parliamentary elections. These elections broke down into three strong blocks. First, there is the Future Movement, which is a gathering of Sunni, Druze, and some Christians, led by Mr. Saad Hariri, the son of the assassinated former prime minister, and Walid Jumblat, the Druze leader. This bloc took 72 seats out of 128. This gathering is usually called March 14 Forces. Then there was the Shiite Amal Hezbollah bloc, led by Mr. Berri and Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. They secured the 35 seats. And finally, the Free Patriotic Movement, and we can say overwhelmingly Christian bloc, led by General Michel Aoun, took 21 seats. So nearly 1 year after elections, political tension rose between Hariri's anti-Syrian bloc and the combined General Aoun and Hezbollah blocs. So it's not a purely confessional tension. This political alignment led to an impasse on several key issues and was accompanied by a subsequent chain of assassinations of anti-Syrian figures like George Hawi, like Samir Qasir, like Gibran Twaini, which polarized Lebanese society and paralyzed official decision-making. So at that critical time, Mr. Berri, noticed by his moderate position, was encouraged, in fact, by several internal and external forces alike, to take the initiative to call for a national dialogue. Participants in that dialogue included important figures of Lebanese politics from all confessions, Mr. Hariri himself, Jumblat, Nasrallah, Aoun, Berri, the current prime minister, Mr. Senoura, Samir Jaja, the leader of the Lebanese forces, Mr. Amin Jmayr, the former president of the republic, and other figures. And in fact, the group was able to reach consensus on certain important issues. For instance, they agreed on the need to normalize the relations with Syria, including establishing Syrian and Lebanese embassies in Beirut and Damascus. As you know, Syria has always said that the two countries did not need embassies in each other's capitals because of their close relationship, because of their joint history. Second, they agreed to collect Palestinian weapons outside of refugee camps within 6 months. That was already in last March. Thirdly, they agreed to discuss a replacement candidate for the current president of the republic, General Emil Lahoud, who is accused by the parliamentarian majority of being appointed by Syrian pressure. But they didn't reach an agreement as to the name of the candidate. They needed much more time. Unfortunately, the war of July came to end up the ambience favorable of the national dialogue, without meaning that the Lebanese are not capable of resuming their talks. I hope they will do that soon.
And that was Jesuit Father Salah Abu Jaudeh, director of the Institute of Islamic and Christian Studies at St. Joseph's University in Beirut. Well, if the national dialogue is to resume in Lebanon, much will depend on how the country heals the physical and the psychological wounds of the recent war between Israel and Hezbollah. Much will also likely depend on the extent to which the Lebanese are ready to leave political and religious infighting aside for the good of their nation.